I am. I'm honored to be here before you this morning. I was thinking about the pastoral team of this church, and I guess I just really felt led to tell you that this team of elders and pastors, they really love you. I mean, I sit in on pastors' meetings when the staff get together, and I hear their heart for you and for the Lord. And I just wanted to say that to you this morning, that you've got a team of people in this ministry that really want to shepherd you correctly. And that's a unique situation. Over the years, I've, you know, been able to be at different churches at different times and get to know some of their staff, and it's really about the church and the growth of the church and how big it can get and the monies that come in and their worship and their, you know, their lights and their, you know, but I really want you to know that that's not the way this fellowship is. And you're significant here, and you have purpose here, and they know it. And so, I don't know, I just felt led to share that with you this morning. So bless you. Father, we ask this morning that your word would go forth and there would be an anointing on it. And Father, I again ask that you just speak beyond the words I say, that by your Spirit that you would reveal and you would transform us, and that every person in this place would bring you the glory that you're due. These are your people, called by name. You know them well. And I pray that they would stand before you, postured, prepared to hear, prepared to be transformed, prepared to be broken. And so we commit this time to you, Lord, for your glory. Amen. And amen. Over the last few weeks, I have felt the Lord speaking to me. And every time that the Lord gives me opportunity to share, I always share what it is he's speaking to me. I can't really give you anything else unless it's something I've had to go through. And so this message this morning is going to be about being broken. And I confess to you today that I don't believe that I am. I'm not here telling you I have it. In fact, the very thought of it is a bit scary to me. I'm not telling you out of experience that this is where I'm at. I'm telling you this is where God's calling me. And I can reflect on times in my Christian walk where I was broken because God was allowing particular tribulations or circumstances in my life to break me. He was doing it intentionally. He was setting up particular trials in order to break me. And these were really difficult times. If I look back over my Christian life, there were specific incidents where I can tell you of tremendous trial or tribulation, and they were used for the intention of breaking me. And I can't tell you they were easy. In fact, they were the most painful moments of my life. And there were times of uncertainty, times of confusion, a stripping, if you will. These times of brokenness were orchestrated by God to remove the dross. You know, those impurities in the clay and those things that he was trying to do to get me to a place where my flesh was out of the way. Things needed to be removed. I remember finding the most beautiful verses out of Jeremiah 18 during those times when God was breaking me. Because it says this, when I went down to the potter's house, there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And I was like, well, I'm glad you didn't throw it away. I'm glad you didn't take the clay and throw it out. You just remolded it into something that would bring you greater pleasure. And there were those times when I was very comforted by these scriptures. But this time is different. This isn't that kind of breaking. This season the Lord is bringing me into, it's as if God is giving me a choice. And he's saying, do you want to be broken? Or do you want to remain the way you are? Do you want to be broken? What does it mean to be broken? Is it really necessary to be broken? I mean, what's the point? Isn't God in this to make us whole? I wonder if the Archangel Michael was here this morning and he said, okay, everybody, we're going to form two lines. We're going to form the line of those of you that want to be broken, and then we're going to form a line of those of you that want the blessing. Which one you want to be in? Who's going to sign up for the brokenness? And who's going to sign up for the blessing? I think if we understood what comes from the brokenness line, we would choose that way. You see, God is giving us the choice. Do you want to be broken? Or do you want to stay the way that you are? When I look at the condition of the church and the posture of God's children and the lawlessness in our land, there really isn't any dividing line. The common element that's missing is brokenness. And as always, God provides us natural pictures to understand spiritual truths. I often look for these things. I desire to understand spiritual truths when I look at things in the natural. He uses our eye gate to teach us things that are happening in the spiritual realm. I want to have spiritual wisdom, not man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is foolishness. I want to understand the spiritual things of God. In 2 Timothy 4:3, Scripture says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Oh, we have a lot of teachers today that are giving you man's wisdom. It's foolishness. I sometimes will listen to these teachers just to see what's out there. What are people buying? What are they believing in? I think, what foolishness. It just makes no sense to me. Tom and I, for the most part, agree on just about everything. Isn't that good? When you have a marriage that you're so blended together, you can really agree on just about anything. We become more like each other as the years go on. But I got to tell you this morning, there's one area we don't really see eye to eye in. And that is our garage. We both agree we have a wonderful garage. When we built the garage, we decided it needed to be big. The purpose of it being big was that we could fit two cars in the garage. It's actually a three-car garage, is it not, the size of it? But we just agreed it would hold two cars. And I liked that, and so did he. We agreed upon that. Well, I am not a keeper of many things. I don't hoard things. I don't save a lot of things, probably much less than I should. I don't like to collect things. I'm just not a collector. My husband is different. My philosophy is, if it's broken, throw it away. Buy a new one if you need it. Tom's philosophy is, if it's broken, I'm sure I can fix it someday, or I can use it for something. It has value, Tina. I'm sure I'll need it someday. So the thing that we agreed upon in our garage has now gone to a one-car garage, and all the stuff that has so much value that's broken, and one day he can use it. In fact, after this service, we're taking up a love offering to build a workshop for him. Because I really like my garage. But in the kingdom of God, Tom really wins. He really does. In this particular message and where I'm going at with this, you see, man throws away those things that are broken. And God seldom uses anything unless it's broken. The world says, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. But I think in God's thoughts, he says, if it's not broken, break it. In fact, some of the greatest works that he ever did were with broken things. So the following scriptures, I want to look at some things that I believe he's given us as insight into this place of brokenness, because it really can be a very scary place when you think, when I think about brokenness, it, particularly in the areas where he had to remake me and reshape me, it was painful. And I don't particularly care to go there. However, the brokenness I'm talking about are those things from these scriptures where they were already, they had value, they had significance, but he wanted them to have greater value, to be able to touch even more lives. And so in Mark 14, we see this passage of scripture that's very familiar. It says, while he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, this is Jesus, was in Bethany, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. It was made of pure nard. And she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. You see, the jar needed to be broken in order to release the fragrant perfume. It was something she wasn't to keep to herself. It wasn't something that she was to hold back. We are like that alabaster jar needing to be broken, to release the most valued, self-contained parts of us. And until that area is broken in us, we will selfishly keep those costly things from the kingdom of God. The jar was useful. But until it was broken, it didn't release all that it was to be poured out for the burial of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, the scripture says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The body of Christ. broken for us. We receive communion each month as a reminder of that brokenness. Sometimes we fellowship together and we'll have communion together. The body of Christ being broken meant that all of mankind could receive the love of God. They could receive forgiveness of sin. His glory was not self-contained. He was broken. He was bruised. He was crushed for us, that we might have eternal life. He didn't stay whole. His body was broken for you, that his glory could be manifest to the world. In Matthew 14, Scripture says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them. He healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they might go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, well, bring them here to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. And so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 basketfuls of the fragments that remained. These loaves were broken to feed multitudes. Initially, that lunch was made to feed 1 or maybe 2. But in its broken state, it fed 5,000. Not only did it feed 5,000, there were basketfuls left over. That's what I want my life to be like. For his glory. That my life isn't just good for me or 1 or 2 others. I want my life to be broken. That multitudes could be reached and far beyond my lifetime, should the Lord tarry. And the Lord is standing before me and he's saying, do you want to be broken? Or do you want to remain the way you are? Because within each of us, there is this place. And I'm not talking about Christianity, although it starts there. But then he wants to get into the secret place, into the innermost part of your being, that when that's broken, a fragrance will be released that will touch the world. Not for you just to contain it, but that his glory would be revealed. In Judges chapter 7, verses 15 through 22, we see Gideon hearing the account of the dream and its interpretation, and he bowed in worship. And so he went to the camp of Israel, and he said this, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all men, with torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp. And you say this, for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came into the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. And they had just posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. And when the 3 companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, crying out as they fled. And when they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army, and the army fled. You see, these pictures were used, created for one purpose. But when broken for the Lord, when smashed for the glory of God, they produced victory for the army of Gideon. The enemy was confused and was destroyed. There's a part of you and the authority that God has given you, and until that shell is broken, you're not going to stand in that place. That it's hidden almost in you. That shell, that part of you needs to be broken, that the authority will come out through you. And when you do that, you'll come into the enemy's camp and confuse his plans. And he will destroy himself. They turn the sword on themselves. But until that happens, you're just speaking his name without a broken place. And you may not have the victories that you're looking for. The glory of God desires to shine through us, to bring victory into the enemy's camp. But we have to be broken for that light to shine forth. You see, brokenness is not weakness. It has been said that brokenness is strength under control. Brokenness is strength under control. In Hosea 10:12, the scripture says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." Break up your unplowed ground. This is where so many of us miss it. We're doing things in Jesus' name, but under the radar, we're not really seeking God until he comes. Seeking him until he comes and showers us with righteousness. When you become broken, you become empty of yourself and full of the Holy Spirit. You truly know, in myself, I can do nothing, but only through Christ who lives in me. Birthed into you is the Holy Spirit. Birthed out of you is his ministry. A truly broken man will not speak unless he is spoken through. He will not speak unless he's spoken through. His lips have been touched with the coal. In Isaiah said in verse 5, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And then one of the seraphim flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I." Here am I. I'm a broken man. Send me. And then he said, "Go and tell the people." A broken man will not speak unless he is spoken through. See, Matthew 15:11 says, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. But what comes out of his mouth, that's what makes him unclean. A broken man's lips are touched by the coal. Brokenness comes from a complete abandonment to God and his ways. An abandonment that leaves you with a desire to be totally God's property. You're ready for the design of his will, and it will totally consume your nature. Your cry will be, I'll go anywhere. I will do anything. I will love anyone. I will go any place. I'm yours. Send me. Oh, if only we would allow ourselves to be broken. It's in that place of brokenness that we're satisfied that he is God, and we are not. And we will join with Isaiah when he said he's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Will you say yes to brokenness? Will you go as far as to pray for it? To pray for brokenness? You see, when you really understand the fruit of it, you won't ever want to leave that place. Because it's in that place that the most fragrant particles of your life will be released. It's in that place when you really can become and touch the heart of God. We spend so much time trying to repair and to look good, to fix us and to fix everyone else. But each of us has a treasure of beauty and a fragrance. It's deep within us. And it's waiting to be released. It's waiting to be released. It's not that it's not there. It's that it's not seen yet. It's in you. Because the Spirit of God dwells within you if you are a believer in this place today. But it can only be released when the vessel's broken. What is the fragrance of your life? I challenge you. Ask someone. Ask your wife. You're not married. Ask your best friend. Ask your pastor. Don't ask me. Ask someone, what do I smell like? Do I smell good? But only ask if you want the truth. How do I smell? God wants us to be broken so that the fragrance will be released. One of the most, it just shocks me how well this particular store does. But you walk into, what is it called? Bath and Body Works? And they change all the time. You can buy anything, any scent, any kind of perfume, bath soaps, lotions. And they change periodically. And I mean, it's a huge market. Smelling good is a huge market. Some of you women have more bath and body work products than you have clothing. I mean, you just buy and buy and buy. It's never enough. You just have this whole closet full of good smelling stuff. But God is looking for the fragrance of you that's in you already. We want to take the artificial route and smell good. And God is saying, I'm looking for the innermost parts of you to be released, to touch the world, that they would say, what is that about you? What is that about your life? That do you know in the natural, when the glory of God moves, you can smell it? Have you ever smelled the fragrance of God? It's real. And I know some of you are going, this woman is off her rock. It's the truth. When we were at Hosea's door, some of you ladies were there. When we did the Spanish speaking Hosea's door. And we were having a time of worship. And I couldn't even sing. I didn't know what the words were. But Hannah was leading them in worship, and Mariah came after church that day, and she opened the door from out in the garage, and she said it hit her. The fragrance was unbelievable. And while the women were singing before God, all I could see was them breaking their alabaster jars, broken before God. They were broken before the Lord. And the fragrance was amazing. You can't bottle that. It comes from the depth of your being. And it comes only when you're broken before Him, being poured out. When you're truly broken before God, you'll hold on to nothing. You will abandon everything in order to walk in the Spirit of God and His perfect will. People desperately try to hold on to life. Most hoard their lives away. They hold on to their visions, their money, their dreams, thinking somehow they can protect themselves and protect those things in the future. We fight to keep our reputations and our positions. We want to control things. In John 12:24, the scripture says, most assuredly I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. See, a grain of wheat is grown from a stalk, and those of you from Iowa will know far more about this than I do. But that stalk grows what they call spikelets, and each of those contain 20 to 50 kernels. The kernel is not usable unless the casing of that spikelet is broken. And inside this kernel is where the choicest nutrients are found. That's where the wheat germ is found and the bran is found. If the kernel's not broken, it has little value or use. It's self-contained. It's not that those nutrients aren't in there. It's that the kernel's not been broken. The casing has not been broken to release those things. But in order for them to be released, the kernel must die. It must fall to the ground. The farmer, by an act of faith, will open his hand and drop those grains into the ground to die. By faith, he knows that if he waits through the season, it will produce harvest, a crop. We too must die, become broken to produce much fruit for the kingdom. We don't need to fear being broken. We need to fear God. Understanding that at the end of this life, whether it's today or in 100 years, you will stand before him and give an account for this life. Each of you. There's not one of you exempt. This will apply to every single one of you. Sometimes you come into a message and it will, you know, it may or may not pertain to you. Maybe it's not what's relevant to you today, but I'm telling you, this statement is true for every person in this place. You will stand before God and give him an account for your life. And everything that you do will be tested. Everything. That jar of perfume from Mark 14 would have stayed in that alabaster jar for the rest of that woman's life if she had not broken it. And you can live this life that way. In fact, he's saying to you, choose. What do you want? Do you want to be broken? To multiply that which I've placed within you that the glory of God may be known, or do you want to stay the way you are? You choose. You decide. It was her decision then. No one forced her to break that jar. It was her decision. And that decision affects my life today. The decision that she made to break that affects my life today. And the decisions that I want to make to be broken before the Lord Jesus Christ are going to affect those far beyond my life. If I will choose to let the casing of my life be broken and those most precious attributes to come forth. That's a picture of a broken life. That's what my desire is. I want his glory to be made known. I think Randy intentionally sings that song, It's Time, every time I preach, because it's the cry of my heart. Y'all, it's time right now for his glory to be made known. Right now, not tomorrow, right now. It's time. What are we waiting for? Why are you trying to hold on to those places in your life that you won't release to the Lord? What's it going to do for you? It's time right now for his authority to be revealed. It's time right now for his glory to be made known. Is there going to be a better day for you? Not for me. Not for me. And I choose. Mariah, would you come? I choose. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what things God will use to break me? I don't know. But how can I say no to him? I want it.